Well, good morning, Kairos Church. You guys doing good today? You should be. You got an extra hour of sleep. It feels amazing out, right? We're all just like bundled up and we get to be in God's house with God's people in God's presence, right? Worshiping Him. And I'm excited to be here. Today we're gonna kick off a series of talks called Pivot. And this has been something over the last probably 3 or 4 weeks that it's a word that has come up. It's things in my life that I've seen where God has kind of caused me to kind of pivot and change direction and look at things from a different perspective. And so that's what we're going to do. And I was thinking about this I don't know, in a silly way. You ever like seen a kid get their head stuck in a railing or get their head stuck somewhere and they're like trying to pull it out, but like their chin's hitting the bar and all they got to do is turn their head and you can just pull them out, right? Or someone's got their foot stuck and they're like, I don't know why it works. Or maybe the old classic, like, I don't know what it was. I don't know what it's from, but like they're holding a ladder and trying to walk through a door this way. You ever seen that? Right? Like you can't walk through a door with a ladder holding it like long ways, right? You got to change your perspective. You got to kind of change. You got to pivot. I was thinking about this too. Just sometimes we are maybe trying to figure something out. We're trying to do something. And for whatever reason, we can't. We're looking at it and we feel like we got all that we need, all the information that we need and all the knowledge that we need in order to figure out this problem. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's technology. Maybe it's on the computer and you're frustrated and you're angry and you're spending all this time and you just don't know what's going on. And then someone walks up to you and like flips a switch or clicks something or just says, hey, all you got to do is go like this. And it automatically starts working. And like, at one point, you're relieved that they did that, right? Like, thank you for your help. But then at the same time, you were super frustrated because you couldn't figure out what was right in front of you. And so this is kind of what we're going to be talking about. How we, in our lives, like, we're so focused on the direction that we're going. And then things come up that get in our way. And we can't go that way anymore. But we still want to move that way. But we gotta pivot. We got to look around. We got to change perspective. We got to ask people for help. And so that's what we're going to be talking about as we go through this series. But this is what takes place, is we get stuck. And we're moving along, and maybe things are going great. Or we're moving along, and things are going horrible. But we get to a point to where what's in front of us will not let us pass anymore. And in that moment, we got to pivot. And we're going to talk about that today. I want to pray before we dive into God's word. But here's what we're looking at today. In those moments when we're stuck, when we pray, when we seek, when we ask, and the answer that we are expecting isn't the answer that we get, what do we do then? What we're looking at it from, we expect something certain to happen, and God answers in a different way, and how do we process and move through that? So really what we're looking at is pivoting from our expectations to God's direction. Let's pray before we dive into this. God, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the word that you have downloaded into my heart through conversations, through circumstance, and through your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the people that are here, that are listening, for those that are joining us online. I pray that, man, you would speak, your spirit would speak, and it would move, God, and that you would remove distractions, soften any hearts or thoughts, and allow us to focus in on how you're wanting to work and move and speak in our lives today. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to dive into a story in 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to be right at verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 5. If you have a Bible, you can look. You can go there. If you have an app, you can go there. It'll be on the screen behind me as well. This is a story about a guy named Naaman. And so I'm going to dive into it. And we're going to read through most of the story. And I'm just going to interject a little bit about some things. And then we're going to kind of unpack it. So let's dive in. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Aram, was considered a great man by his king, and was highly respected because through Naaman the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was also a man of courage. So it's really interesting here. He has all these great things. It's like this dude's got it going for him. But it has one little sentence right there at the end. But he was a leper. If you don't know what a leper is, a skin disease, your body just starts falling off and it's bad. So here we go. We have Naaman is this great man, and he's doing these great things, but he has this thing in front of him, this leprosy that's causing him to be stuck, and there's the desire within his heart to be free from it. It goes on in verse 2. The Arameans had gone out in bands as raiders and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife as a servant. She said to her mistress, I wish that my master Naaman were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would heal him of his leprosy. Okay, so here we got it. Through a really not so good circumstance, a servant girl is captured, brought into Naaman's house, and Naaman hears about the man, just this thought or this idea, this hope comes that he could be healed. Okay, I have my direction. I have the way that I need to go. Okay, great, let's go. I have hope. I have healing in God. I can find that. Let's go find out about that. Verse 4. So Naaman hears, and he goes in, and he told his master, the king, "The girl who's from the land of Israel said such and such." Then the king of Aram, Syria, said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he left and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes. Okay, so he has a need. He has a desire to be healed. He hears about how this might be possible. And this is, he believed in that enough to ask and to go. And this is going to take place in our lives where we desire something. Someone shares something with us. We have to believe it, and we have to ask, and we have to go. This is what he does. So, verse 9, we're going to skip some of the fluff in there. So verse 9 comes. He's there. He's in Israel. He's gone. He came to the king, and Elijah hears about it. And so verse 9 comes. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stopped at the entrance of Elijah's house. Verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger to him. Underline that, because that's really important. Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean." A couple few things that are really interesting here. Number one, Elisha didn't even go out to meet this man. Now, this is a commander. This is a man who is highly respected. He has like this entourage, right? And he's traveled all this way to come and be healed, and Elijah doesn't even go out to meet him. Now, if that's you, you're probably like, I'm not even worth your time, right? So that's going on. So he didn't go himself. And this is what's really key as well. It's Naaman's healing wasn't really dependent on Elisha. It's so important that we see this. It was not dependent on Elisha at all. It was all on God. And really, Naaman's belief and Naaman's willingness to do what God told him to do to experience the healing that he was looking for. And then verse 11 comes, here's the answer to the prayer, the need to pivot. And so we have all this going on. Go and wash 7 times, that's it. It's so easy. You've traveled all this way. Man, all you gotta go do is jump in the Jordan and wash yourself 7 times. Like, I'm like, okay, this is simple. I was thinking we'd have to scrape stuff off and we'd have to do this, all these things and whatever, but I just have to go jump into the Jordan River, that'd be easy. But this is not how Naaman responds. Verse 9, Naaman was furious. And he went away and he said, "Indeed, I thought he would at least come out to see me." Okay, so this is coming against his pride, right? I'm this big person. I'm really important. He should come see me and help me and heal me. And then he goes on, I thought he'd come and he'd stand and he'd call on the Lord his God and he'd wave his arms all over the place. Be healed by the power of the Lord, right? I'm expecting this big grand gesture and like, I came all this way. Why isn't it showing up? And so this is the deal. God's healing is there. God's provision is there. God's blessing is there. God's leading is there. And it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be flashy. It doesn't have to be full of any pomp or boasting. God will speak. God will give you the answer. God will provide the way. And all it really requires for us to do is to trust and obey. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, but oftentimes we ask and we expect something. God answers and we say, "No, that's okay. I thought it was going to go a different way. I don't need that." And we miss out on the blessings that God has for us. Maybe because of our pride, because of our expectations. But we're called to trust and obey, even if we don't fully understand the process or method or direction, even if it runs counter to what we asked for. So verse 12, it goes on. And so he gets kind of into this whole pride and his expectations. And he says, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" Again, why did I have to travel all this way? Why couldn't I just go do that, right? This is pride. He says, that, well, what I'm used to is this. What I expected was this. And what I already know is better. What I thought was going to happen would have been better. And so he turned and went away in a rage. Healing was there. Hope was there. It was so simple, so easy. But because of his pride, because of his expectations, he walked away from it. And we often get angry, impatient, or even frustrated when God doesn't answer when and how we want. When God doesn't answer exactly how we were expecting him to answer. But when we respond to God's response in that way, all that does is delay the answer and the blessing. Thankfully, he had some people with him to speak into his life. Verse 13. Then his servants approached and said to him, my father, if the prophet would have told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he has said to you, wash and be clean? Oh, so simple. Why were you expecting this great and amazing thing? It's there. It's for you. This is what you desire. Why wouldn't you take it? And I love the perspective of the friends. I love it. And see, when we all need friends and community to bring fresh and clear perspective to our lives and to our sins and to our shortcomings and to our oversights and to our pride, so that when God answers, they can say, hey, this is it. Don't miss it. Don't let your sin cause you to miss out on what God has for you. And this is something, this is kind of a write down if you want to write. God puts people in our lives to help us pivot in his direction. In his direction. And I think even for Naaman, these are his servants talking to him. And he could have said the same thing. But maybe he respected them enough and understood enough that they cared so much about his well-being and who he was that they were speaking truth into his life. This is what God wants for you. This is what God has for you. Don't miss this opportunity. And sometimes we are so blinded by our own pride, by our own expectations, that we miss it. And even when our friends come and tell us the truth, we push up against it. But God put those people in your lives to help you pivot in his direction. Verse 14, his friends talk to him. Hey, man, this is it. It's here. All you have to do is do this. So after hearing from his friends, he went down and he plunged himself into the Jordan 7 times, just as the man of God had said, and his flesh was restored like that of a little child, and he was clean. He found the healing, he found the hope because he trusted and obeyed. He pivoted. He changed from his expectations to God's direction, and he didn't miss out on the healing. And that's the reality. And so when he pivoted away from himself, from his sin, and toward God, his prayer was answered. And from that moment, he got to move on, a new life, a new purpose, a new hope, a new strength, a new vigor, and man, with a newfound glory of who God is and how God works. You see, to successfully pivot, you got to change your perspective to God's and move in his direction. Not your direction. Not what you were expecting to be done. Not to keep holding on to what you wanted God to say or how you wanted God to answer. We got to pivot our perspective to follow his direction. And see, for you and I, where we maybe we get so laser focused, like we're in a situation, we're in a circumstance, we get so laser focused on maybe one or two solutions, like this is it, God. I have this problem, and from where I'm looking at it, on paper, in my mind, there's only 2 possible ways out of this. There's only 2 directions I can go. There's only 2 options. You see, God comes along, and he'll provide you with the right one, and he sees all of them, but he'll provide you with the right one, and it's not going to be just one that'll bless you, and this is what's so important, is it's going to also bless others. You got to understand, God's about his people, his glory, drawing people back into relationship to him. So when he helps you, you better know and you better understand that it's not going to just benefit you, it's going to benefit others. So in your circumstance, in your situation, whatever's going on, maybe what God is leading you to, the direction that God is sending you that is counter to your expectation, is in an order to help someone else who's going through a difficult time as well. We can't see it because we're so blinded by just our problem. And we're like, God's like, listen, I have you here and I'm leading you here so that not only will you be healed, restored, and helped and brought into new hope and new joy, but I'm going to bring someone else that's going to be experience the same thing because you chose to trust and obey the direction that I sent you. But we fight against it. Well, that's not what I thought. I thought this was going to be the way. And so we fight. And so we all get stuck in many different ways. There are moments in our lives where we're kind of just at a standstill. Maybe we're crying out to God and we're asking God and we're praying to God, which direction, where am I going, what do I need to do? God, save me from this. God, help me from this. I wonder, are you only listening for God to answer your expectation? Or are you waiting to hear God's direction so you can follow it, trust it, and obey it? We get so caught up in wanting to do what we want to do that we miss out on what God is wanting to do and how he's wanting to lead us. Now, this has happened in my life. Heck, it happened this past week, and I'm sure this is something that can resonate with you. Like, I had a good week, and, you know, just things were going great. Got to spend some time, hanging out with the movement teams on Wednesday night, playing some human foosball. That was awesome, if you missed that. My legs were sore from that. That wasn't my problem, though. And then I got to go hang out with the Echo Ministries. I'm on the board there and just hear about everything that God's doing, and there's some cool stuff going on. But I remember leaving, and I remember waking up the next morning and just feeling this overwhelming sense of, I don't know, like doubt and envy and all these negative thoughts kind of came in front of me and kind of stopped me from moving into the day the way that, anyone ever experienced that? Where you just wake up and like your thoughts are just overwhelming and you can't get through it and you just want to lay in bed. And so I'm stuck in this moment. And I still got to go. I still got to get my kids to school. I still got to go do the things that I have to do today. But like, I'm just in my mind. I'm not wanting to spend time with God. Me and our executive guy, Chris Hanna, you guys know him. We kind of talk every morning, and he messaged me, and I didn't want to message him back. And I was stuck. My thoughts were causing me to be stuck. I didn't even want to spend time in God's Word. Isn't it so funny when we're going through something that we push away from the very things that can help us get out of it? And so, like, I'm going through, and I'm going through the motions, and I'm just not feeling it. And so I didn't respond back to Chris like we usually do, like, these video things. And I was just like, I'm not even going to try to fake it with him. And I just sent him a text. I said, hey, man, like, I'm just in a bad headspace. Can you pray for me? Step number one, have someone pray for you, right? So I know he sent me a prayer right back. And then I was going to dive into one of my devotionals that I do, and I was like, I'm not feeling this. I'm going to go do another one. And I dive into a devotional that morning that I've been going through, and it says, your purpose is greater than your problems. And I'm like, this is going to be good right here. Let's go, right? And so I read through this, and like, I reach out and ask for prayer. I go to God's word, and it fills me up. And then later that day, I got to sit down and have a conversation with a good buddy of mine named Lynn, and just got to kind of share with him. And through it all, the thing that was keeping me stuck, it was God's people, it was God's word, it was God's prayer, it was God's spirit that helped me move past it and kind of combat the lies. And so that's kind of an everyday, not an everyday thing, but that's something we can probably all resonate with. And so it happens in small ways, and it happens in big ways. I remember before we moved out here to plant Kairos Church, and I was serving at another church, and things were going great, and things were going wonderful, but oddly enough, I felt stuck. I felt like I was idle. I felt like there was no purpose. I felt like maybe there was something wrong with what was going on in the church, and like I just was just stuck, and I was just pushing through it all, and what I needed to do is what I just did. I had to talk to some people. I had to bring it to my pastor. I had to bring it to my wife. I had to seek God's word, and through all those things, I got my answer. But it was one of those things where I got into this moment, and I'm like, okay, God, and I'm praying this prayer. I'm like, God, here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I'm thinking. I feel like the problem is here, and if you could just fix the problem, everything will be okay. But God's like, no. Actually, there's no problem here. I'm pulling you away from here to go do something else. And I was like, oh, not expecting that, right? Because that in and of itself was a bit terrifying. And he says, listen, this is good. What's happening here is good, but your time here is done. And I'm moving you on to something else. Well, and that moved me into a whole other session of being, well, okay, where am I going? God spoke and he moved and he worked, and that was in my situation. And maybe for you it's you're like, hey God, please take me somewhere else. And God's like, no, I need you to stay, because there is something wrong here and I need you to be a part of the solution. I think oftentimes we tend to go after the easier solution instead of the more difficult one in our lives. And so whatever that looks like, that's my story. But what about you? How are you stuck? What are you asking God to do? And when you ask and the answer isn't what you expected, what is your response to God's response? And we can all relate to Naaman's story. You know, he had this disease and it was causing him to wither away, like literally physically wither away. Maybe in your life it's a relationship that's withering. Maybe it's an addiction that's causing who you are as a person to wither away. Maybe it's a job that's withering away at your purpose, financial issues that are withering away at your bank account. Maybe it's idleness that's withering away at your purpose, or negative attitude that's withering away your compassion and your love for others. Maybe it's fear that's withering at your confidence, or maybe it's just that through the years, through different circumstances, they've withered away your hopes and your dreams. We all find ourselves stuck in many different situations, in many different areas, and we could have been praying for them and expecting certain things to happen, but because they didn't happen, we missed out on God's direction and leading. So think about this. I'm going to give you some scenarios in your relationship. Maybe your expectation, you say, man, I need that other person's attitude to change so that this relationship can be fixed. And God says, no, the direction here is that I need you to be willing to compromise and to sacrifice and to serve them. Maybe in your addiction, your expectation is, God, please free me from this. Keep this hidden so no one knows it. And God says, no. Listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to share it. I want you to get it out there so that you can have accountability, and that will lead you to being freed from it. Maybe in your job, your expectation is that you would get a raise. And in getting a raise, that would make your job worthwhile, right? If I just make more money, even though I don't care about or like what I'm doing, it would be worthwhile. In God's direction, he says, actually, you know what? I'm leading you to a new job that has a pay cut, but you will experience joy and purpose in it. Maybe it's in financial stuff. Your expectation is, God, will you just give me more so I can stop living paycheck to paycheck? And God says, I need you to give more. Stop accumulating and be blessed. It's not in the getting more, it's in the giving more that I will bless you. Maybe in your idleness, your expectation is that God would, man, give you, like, I'm idle, I don't know what to do. God, just give me this amazing, big, bold, out there, you know, vision for my life. I want this, it's going to be so amazing. And God says, listen, you have all this time. I want you to use your time to find purpose in serving others in small ways. Maybe in your negativity, you go to God and you pray to God, God, please help me change my negative thoughts. And God comes and he says, change your atmosphere and your influences. Get around people that will help you combat your negativity. Maybe with your fear, you go in and you say, God, I just, please remove or keep me from the situations that I fear. And God comes in and he says, I put you in this situation in order for you to overcome your fear. You see the difference? And these are just examples. I'm not saying this is how God answers the situations every time. But you can see how oftentimes when we expect one thing. But God's ways are so much better than ours. And God's thoughts are so much better. And he sees so much further, and he knows so much more. And sometimes it's hard to follow, and sometimes it's hard to obey, and sometimes it's hard to trust him. But if we will, if we're willing to pivot from our expectations to his direction, he will do more than we ever hoped or dreamed that could be done. He's going to move, and he's going to do amazing things. And so this is something that I wrote down right before I came up, and that is this, that your reaction to God's direction is going to reveal your expectation. Let that sit for a minute. Your reaction to God's direction is going to reveal your expectation. I don't have anything else to say about that other than just think about that. Think about how that you've reacted in the past. Think about how you're reacting right now. No, God, I can't. No, God, it's too much. No, God, that's not. How are you reacting? Like, go back to Naaman's story. All you have to do is go and wash 7 times. Well, that's not what I expected. I'm angry and I'm in a rage. How are you reacting? So, okay, Pastor Brad, I'm stuck. I do need to pivot, but God's not answering. I don't have direction and I don't have clarity. What do I do? I'm going to give you 3 things. 3 ways that you can process through these pivoting. So here's the first one. First, you got to look inward. And this one's really important, and we see it in Naaman's life. Look inward and really just, is there a sin that is hindering the pivot? Are you too proud or too set in your ways or too expectant or too worldly minded to see where God is leading? In verse 10 of 2 Kings, man, we saw how Naaman's pride was man, just attacked, right? Elisha sends a messenger and says, hey, man, go take a bath, right? Like, why don't you just get cleaned up, right? And so there's this pride, and it comes heavy against his pride. And so here's the deal. In order for him to be healed, Naaman's pride needed to be put in check before he could get unstuck. And maybe you're asking God to show up in one way, in your job, in relationships, in a direction, whatever, but he needs to deal with your sin first. And I think he did that in Naaman's life. He absolutely did that. I'm going to come against his pride because in order for me to fix what he's seeing as the big problem, I need to get rid of the real problem. And in your life, you may have these big problems, but and you think if this is fixed, everything will be great. But the real problem usually is in here, in our heart, and in our sin. Sin is the big problem of this world in every situation. And God says, I'm gonna come against that. And I'm gonna get your heart right, and I'm gonna get your mind right. And when I get that right, then you will be willing to obey and trust the things that I say. And as you do that, you will experience this healing that you wanted. Pivoting may require repentance. I'm not saying it always will. I'm not saying there will always be a sin that's keeping you from it, but it may require repentance from you. And know this, God will always remove sin. He will always call you to repentance before he blesses you and moves you forward and makes a way for you. I wonder if there's a sin that's hindering you. And now, moving on, it's like, who did God help Naaman recognize his pride, help recognize the sin? It's the next one. Look outward. Look outward to God's people with different perspectives to the pivot. It's like you're watching from afar and like, you know your friend's going through something. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's relational. And someone comes up and is like, here, I want to bless you in this way. And they're like, nah. And your friends are like, what are you doing? That's it. That's the answer. You've been praying for this for years. Why are you pushing away? And they see it and they tell, hey, listen, I don't know what that is. I don't know why you're answering that way, but this is God's answer. Whatever you were expecting, man, put that aside, because God has it right here for you, and it's going to be even greater than what you thought. God's people lead to God's healing. Look through Naaman's story. It starts with a servant girl who tells him about somebody who can heal him. And then he goes and he asks the king, who gives him, you know, and says, you can go. And then there's Elisha, who is this prophet of God that can heal him. And all those things are given. And the final one, the most important one, was the friends, or his servants. He said, hey, buddy, if this was some great thing, you would have done it, but all you have to do is wash. And so God's people lead to God's healing. It also required Naaman to trust and obey God's way over his. He had to pivot this from his expectations to God's direction. And again, this is a reminder. God puts people in our lives to help us pivot in his direction. So whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, share. Be open to hearing different perspectives on how God is speaking. Here's the third and final one. Look upward. We're going to look in, we're going to look out, we're going to look up. And really, this is what we've been talking about. Set aside your expectations, your worldly, earthly, fleshly, sinful expectations. Pivot and follow God's direction. Naaman left angry and in a rage because his expectations were not met. Healing was there. It was easy, but he walked away from it, because it wasn't how he thought it would go. And so he had to drop his pride. Listen, the miracle of the pivot, it happens when we pivot away from sin, pivot away from self, and we go in God's direction. And what that means is we deny our desires or expectations and we trust and obey God. We deny worldly pursuit and follow his leading. We deny a reliance on money or on medication or on material possession and rely on God. We deny our pride, our self-reliance, and we begin to seek help from others around us. And oftentimes we say, I'm stuck because I don't know how to get myself unstuck. You see, that's just it. God's saying, listen, you can. And he also says, I don't need you to. If you're willing to trust me and obey me, I'll lead you where you need to go. And you will experience even greater things than what you even expected. You see, when we do and when we pivot from our expectations to God's direction, we will see and experience victory and purpose, and belonging, and freedom, and joy in our lives. but also in the lives of others. I'm going to ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's run through this really quick. God, right now, let's pray. God, right now, I'm going through something, I'm dealing with something. God, I pray that first and foremost, I would look inward, that you would reveal the attitude and the motive of my heart. God, that you would reveal if there is sin taking place. Maybe it is pride. Maybe it's envy. Maybe it's greed. I don't know. But God, reveal what it is so that I can turn away from it and turn towards you, and pivot towards you. God, I pray today that you would help us to see our need. As we feel stuck, as we're going through difficult situations, to reach out and ask for help. Even in situations where what we're dealing with, what we're going through is embarrassing or shameful, or there's just a lot of regret, God, that we would understand that you put people in our lives that are imperfect, that are going through stuff just like we are. I pray, God, that you would allow us to see that those people, not only are they there to help us and guide us, but maybe, just maybe, you put us in their lives as well to help them and guide them through something. But it'll only happen when we're willing to share, to get vulnerable, to be in community, and to help get a different perspective on where you're trying to lead. Lastly, God, I pray that you would help us see our circumstance and where you're leading as a blessing. God, that though we may ask for one thing, or we may expect something totally different than what you have answered with, God, that we would understand that if we're willing to trust, that if we're willing to obey, that if we're willing to see it from your perspective, it will be greater. In the end, it will be greater than what we had thought or hoped for. God, continue to help us draw closer to you. Continue to help us to draw closer to the people that you've put in our lives so that we can move past our stuckness and pivot in your direction. You know, maybe you're here today and you could say, I've been stuck for far too long, Pastor. I've been lost. I've been chasing after the world's direction. I've tried all these things, and I've tried to do it in my own power. I've tried to do it in my own strength. I've tried to rely on me, but I'm still stuck. I just want to share with you today, if that is you and you have lost hope, that there is a hope that can help you get out of that stuckness, and his name is Jesus Christ. It's in him, through him, and by him, first and foremost, that we are reconciled back into relationship with God. And when we are reconciled back into relationship with him, and we begin to go to him and draw from him and rely on him, man, we will feel that freedom, experience that hope, have a joy that is renewed, and find new purpose. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you've been asking and seeking and expecting the world to answer, but there is only one answer, and it is Jesus Christ. Maybe today your pivot is just a pivot into his arms, to experience his forgiveness, to experience his love and his compassion and his mercy and his grace in that new life that he has for you. And it's simple. Go to him. And tell him that you need him. Ask him for forgiveness. Confess and profess that he is both the Lord and Savior of your life. And begin to live that out all the days of your life. God, I pray for each of us. No matter where we're stuck, no matter what we're going through, God, I pray that we could do these things and ultimately trust and obey your direction over our expectations. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.